Thank you for coming to church on Christmas Day. One of my favorite images of Christmas Day comes from a movie version I saw of A Christmas Carol, the Dickens story. When it was Christmas morning, after a long night of being visited by ghosts, and Ebenezer Scrooge wakes up and realizes that it's Christmas Day, and he is so happy. It is a wonderful moment, and he is so happy. I'm happy on Christmas morning, but I don't think I've ever been as happy as Ebenezer Scrooge was, for he has been changed. Prior to that, as we know from his story, Ebenezer lived a pretty miserable life, and a life which was cut off from the world around him in very profound ways, for it was a life incapable of compassion. He had no care for the suffering of his employees or Bob Cratchit. The illness of Tiny Tim meant nothing to him. For Scrooge, the world in which he lived was nothing more than a means to an end, his own end. It was a playground in which he moved things around to achieve his own goals. And if there were suffering he caused or bad things that happened because of his actions, none of that mattered as long as he was content. And of course, in the visit from the ghost of Christmas past, if you remember, he gets to see that this life has pretty much been his life forever. His childhood had been compassionless. His upbringing was compassionless. He was taught a lack of compassion and shown a lack of care. And so the prison in which Scrooge lived was set out for him from the beginning. And he lived in it until Christmas Eve. When he was visited by the ghost of Marley, his old business partner, and the other ghosts who came, they showed him that this life without compassion was not the only way. There was another way. And so in the morning on Christmas, the frightened and repentant Scrooge opened his life to a new way. There with the church bells ringing, and a new person was born. I can only hope that something like that will come upon all of us this morning. Maybe not so drastically, because maybe we have not been living such a compassionless life as Scrooge, but I hope it comes to us in some similar fashion, with church bells ringing in the background. One of the greatest gifts that come whenever we interact with God is that God makes us a little bit more connected with life. That connection always leads to compassion. God's presence always unites us. Part of what is so profound about A Christmas Carol is the realization that each of us, to some degree, is our own Scrooge, that we are trapped in a world of our own making, in our own state, where we imagine that we are disconnected. We imagine that we are disconnected from each other, that we are individuals, each with his or her own competing interests and desires. And we imagine that we are at odds with each other. Humans did not always see it that way. If we go back to our religious roots in the Hebrew Bible, it is interesting to realize that God for the Jews came not to the person, that God for the Jews came not to the individual, but that God came to the group, to all of them. My rabbi, Mark Shapiro, has pointed out to me that in the prayers during the Sabbath at the temple, that the words I and me are not prayed for, but that it is always we or us. The Lord has come to save us. We are beneficiaries of God's grace. And we see that in our own Christian texts. We see that in the Magnificat, in which Mary is told she will bear the Savior, and she rejoices that she is part of God's salvation for all people. Today in the gospel, the angels have come to the terrified shepherds to give them good news of great joy for whom? For all. I am not so important to Jesus as I think I am. The I is not so much a beneficiary of the plan of salvation as the we. Obviously, I am important to Jesus. Obviously, you are important to Jesus. But it's not because we are particularly great or significant or important on our own, but it's because I am one of us. We see this so clearly in our second lesson from Titus. I knew a priest, maybe some of you knew him too, named Titus Presley. I remember Titus Presser saying that he was the only Titus he ever knew. He did not know another Titus. It's not a common name. And the reading of Titus in our church service is just as rare. Excuse me. The epistle to Titus from the New Testament only appears once in our lectionary. It only appears at Christmas. So you've got to pay attention because it's a very Christmassy lesson. Here's what Titus says. That when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. It's a passage of grace and faith over and above anything that I can do. And it's a passage of connectivity and compassion because so much of my labor, so much of our labor leads us to think that we and our work and our might and our money and our strength make a difference in this life. That is our labor which separates the I from the world around us, which gives us favor, which makes us important, that we have within us the power to save ourselves. And Titus says no. We have within us God. If I believe that you are just here to help me get ahead, why would I care about you beyond how I can use you? Why would I care about Tiny Tim? If life is determined by what I can do, then each of us is on our own, and we are trapped like Scrooge in this prison. But if I cannot make it on my own, if I do not have power within me, if I am beholding to God for God's mercy, then I need you. Maybe I'm not so able or so great. Maybe I can see you as being in the same boat as me. For Jesus came through God's grace, and Christmas happened not because of me. It happened for me, and it happened for you. I can imagine that in the night of Ebenezer Scrooge's Christmas, when he was visited and brought around to see his life, that he came to realize that something stronger than his own pain and fear existed, and that was God and love. And I hope that we find the same thing to be true this year, that whenever we feel pain, whenever we feel fear, we remember this morning that something bigger than these things exists, and that is God and love. This Christmas, I pray that you and I and the whole world will realize Christ as a gift that has come to us, not because of what we've done, but because of who God is, because of the love God has. There is no nice and naughty list. There are no children here, right? I could say that. There's only mercy. There's only God looking at all of us, from Ebenezer Scrooge to Mother Teresa, and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now who can you love? Compassion is love for another connected to the shared experience of being alive. In a truly compassionate world, on an ideal Christmas morning, we would all wake up and come down and run into the street, freeing migrant children who are trapped in cages at the border. We would wake up and armies on both sides would put down their guns and enemies would rush to embrace each other. Victimizers, bullies, name callers, racists, homophobes would suddenly see that they have been wrong, for they are just like those whom they attack and hate. And we would find deep compassion for our planet and concern for those coming after us, and this would lead us to protect what we have. But in a less than compassionate world, on your average Christmas morning like today, it is up to us who carry the faith to work for this vision, to be as compassionate as we can for those who differ from us, and to be extra compassionate for those who just don't get it. And there are many. So let our lives be love. Let this year be love. Let the true present of Christmas be for us the transformation we share with each other, with friends and families and strangers and enemies, knowing that God has saved us and poured out on us and on all the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we are his heirs. We have inherited it. We have been born into it, and today it is born into us. Merry Christmas, and may God bless us, everyone.
Amen. Amen.